This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It was October 22nd of last year when Lauren McCluskey, a 21-year-old student athlete, was shot just outside of her dorm at the University of Utah. She was killed by a man she had been dating but had broken up with when she learned he had been lying to her. He was older than he said he was. She didn't know he was a registered sex offender. He was violent. He had blackmailed her. And as you know by now, Lauren had contacted the university's campus police department several times to say she feared for her safety. Numerous times, in fact, in the 10 days before she was killed, she contacted them. Twice she called the Salt Lake City police. Her mother called. It took 7 days for the university police department to open an investigation, and even then they didn't check the full criminal record of the man who killed her. In fact, an independent assessment of the murder found several problems with the way the investigation was handled, like not communicating in person, conducting interviews in the department lobby, not following up when officers were off duty. The report said there were several indications that Lauren McCluskey was in trouble. The report made various recommendations for the university: better training, better communication, hiring a safety officer and other personnel. And at a news conference last December, university president Ruth Watkins said they would follow the recommendations, all of them. Watkins said the report offered weaknesses and provided what she called a roadmap for strengthening security on campus. But she also said the report, and I'll quote her here, does not offer any reason to believe the killing could have been prevented. No one was fired. No one was disciplined. Lauren's parents, Jill and Matt McCluskey, didn't agree with that part, of course. They filed a $56 million civil rights case against the university. Just a few days ago, the university responded to the lawsuit by asking a judge to dismiss it. And all of this is raising questions about liability, but also accountability. So today in the program, we're talking about the University of Utah's obligation to Lauren McCluskey or others who fear for their safety on campus. We'll talk about the legal dimensions of the case, but also the questions of campus culture. And I should mention the obvious here right up front. KUER is on the campus of the University of Utah. We are licensed by the university. I am an employee of the university. We're going to begin with Lauren's father, Matt McCluskey. He is a professor of physics at Washington State University. We spoke with him earlier today, and I asked him in the hours and early days after his daughter had been killed, what was it he expected from the University of Utah?
In the first few days, I was in shock and traumatized, and I was pleased by the reaction in those first few days because they showed sympathy and they looked like they were going to investigate the matter thoroughly and make changes. So in those first few days, I was actually, although heartbroken, relatively optimistic about the university.
Did that confidence that you had in those early days begin to change as the issue of legal liability may have become more present for the university, that they started to focus maybe more on the legal liability they might bear rather than the larger issues at hand?
Our impression changed very abruptly when the university president said in a press conference that there was no way that Lauren's death could have been prevented. And that came as, I actually didn't believe it when I heard it. That signaled a very big change. And it was clearly not true. There were 30 recommendations that Utah implemented to improve things. And essentially what one is saying is that none of those would have mattered. And anyone reading the report can see that that's not true. So that's really when things changed, and it was clear that they were assuming a defensive posture.
Did your relationship with university officials change after that?
Yeah, there was essentially no communication anymore, and my wife, Jill, still tried. But she did email and a message, and it wasn't returned, and the conversations that were happening were very limited, and it was clear that they were not engaging us.
Would she or you won't have you speak for her, but would you characterize that as insensitive on the part of the university not to respond?
I think that's one way you could characterize it. I think it was it was not a problem solving approach anymore, because really what we wanted was to engage them to make everything safer for the students. And that was that. And what needs to be done is the people need to be held accountable. So there was a refusal to just hold the people accountable, whether it was the police chief or the people below him, et cetera, for the clear mistakes that were made. And so I think the combination of the two, saying that, well, there's nothing that could have been done, and that no individuals would be held accountable, the sort of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And up till that point, we were working reasonably closely with the review commission and, mainly interested in getting the facts.
As you think about it now, how do you explain why this happened?
Culture. I think there was a broken culture at the university and in the campus police and probably other departments too, like housing. And the culture is, if a young woman comes in with a very specific complaint, fear, they are not being taken seriously. Now, I know that's the case for Lauren. I suspect it's the case for others.
I wonder, do you think you understand the university's resistance to taking responsibility for Lauren's death, for not disciplining officers? Does it go back to culture, or is there also some, is this a concern over legal liability that's driving a lot of this?
Sure. I think the administration is taking advice from lawyers who are not looking at the bigger picture. And so avoiding legal liability is probably their instinct, right? The difference in this case is that we were genuinely interested in, hey, let's work together. And, I would submit that would have been a smarter and certainly more moral approach for the university to have taken, because we were not out to get anyone.
So you think that in some ways this attention to legal liability is limiting the school's attention to maybe the more, I'll use your term, moral parts of the story, sensitivity, accountability, assuring students feel safe, those kinds of things?
Right. And I think that those are not only, moral, but also smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get better enrollment. You're going to have students performing better, and it's the right thing to do. But it also makes the system safer for future students. It improves the image of the university. It's just good all around.
At what point, Dr. McCluskey, did you and your wife decide to file the lawsuit? Like, what was the turning point? What was the moment when you said, we have to file this suit?
I think that the turning point started with the press conference where the president said that there's nothing that could have been done to prevent Lauren's death and that no one would be held accountable. When I heard that, I thought, well, that okay, nothing's going to change unless we pursue that path.
I want to get you to respond to this, the university's motion to dismiss the lawsuit and some of the language in there. Let me read this. The motion to dismiss says this. It says, there is no clearly established constitutional requirement that a university protect its students from sexual harassment perpetrated by visitors to campus who are not under university control. What do you make of that language?
Okay, so they're trying to say that because this individual was from off campus that they're not responsible. And it's absurd because Lauren tried to go to the city police.
Yeah.
And was turned back to the campus police. So she had no choice but to operate through the university.
But why would it matter that the man who killed Lauren was a university employee or student in terms of the university's obligation to protect her? Why would that matter?
I can't imagine it would. It's a very good question. And we're not talking about somebody who randomly walked in and started shooting up people. That's not at all what we're talking about. This was something that was, you know, clearly on the radar that she was persistently reporting. But the fact that the person is not a student or faculty or staff is, as far as I can tell, totally irrelevant. I think that they're just grasping.
You have mentioned the culture and how important it is to change the culture. But you've also said for that to happen, people have to be held accountable. What's the connection there? Why is one so crucial to the other?
Well, the culture is, you know, are you going to really take this seriously? And if individuals, employees are not taking young women seriously, then those individuals need to find another occupation. Okay. And in any organization, if you're going to improve things, it's not enough to rewrite regulations or buy a new building. It's the people that really matter. And so if you have the best people, you're going to have the best outcome. And I think it's very safe to say that the campus police did not have the very best people that they could.
Your wife, Jill, has written that she's hoping that this case will be what she's described as a catalyst for change, not only at the University of Utah, but colleges nationwide. I won't have you speak for her, but tell me what she, and I'm gathering what you mean, because you're hoping for a broader conversation here, it sounds like.
I think that everyone can look at this story. It's very easy to blame victims. And I think people do that usually out of fear, not malice. You want to think, that couldn't happen to my daughter. That couldn't happen to me. And yet you look at this case and here's someone who did everything right and still had the very worst outcome. As long as the university does not take accountability, does not take responsibility, does not really, you know, do what is necessary to protect the students, then they're in danger. And so we couldn't stand by while that happened.
Matt McCluskey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Matthew McCluskey is a professor of physics at Washington State University. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West.
This November, Salt Lake City will elect a new mayor. And in the coming weeks, KUER will be covering the candidates and the issues.
This is not Salt Lake City's problem on our own. This is a statewide issue.
A Salt Lake City that's sustainable means a Salt Lake City that represents all Salt Lake City.
KUER brings you trustworthy reports and conversations about local politics, all made possible by our sustaining members. To make your gift, head to KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're exploring the way the University of Utah has responded in the months following the death of university student and athlete Lauren McCluskey. Joining us now on the program is Jillian Friedman. She's an investigative reporter for the Deseret News. She's been covering this story, and she's joining us here in the studio. Welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What do you think the story is about? Like, boil it down. Like, at its core, what is the story about, do you think?
Well, on the surface, this story is about the tragic murder of a young woman with an extremely bright future, a track star, a great friend, a wonderful daughter, granddaughter, someone who loved animals, someone who spent her time volunteering. But the story is much bigger than Lauren McCluskey. It's much bigger than the murder of one woman. It's about a culture. It's about a national conversation about dating violence. Nearly half of women who are on college campuses will experience dating violence. That means that half of the students at the University of Utah, but also at every campus in the country, will experience, obviously, maybe not something as egregious as what happened to Lauren, but behavior similar. And so the story is about what happens when a woman is not believed. And that question is something the nation is grappling with. That's at the heart of the Me Too movement. When a woman speaks up about something that happened to her, will she be believed by the authorities that are charged with protecting her?
What's it been like reporting this story? University of Utah is a big institution. They have to protect themselves legally, obviously, and we can talk more about that. But how responsive has the university been to you as a reporter trying to cover and get details about all of this?
So I spent about 6 months reporting out this story. We did at the Deseret News. We did a long magazine style feature on Lauren's murder. And I many times throughout my reporting process attempted to reach out to them and ultimately was denied any interviews with either campus police or any university officials, and was told essentially that that was because that they'd said all that they wanted to say and that there wasn't anything else to add, even when I made clear that what I was doing was really an in-depth look at the full case. It still seemed that they said that they weren't interested in speaking about the past. They were only interested in speaking about the progress they were making in the future. But of course, through my reporting, it was clear that there was still a lot to be talked about with what had happened in the past.
What did they mean by that? When one university representative said to you, "We want to move this forward." What are they trying to say about that, do you think?
Well, I think a lot of the emphasis on behalf of the university and in all fairness has been on what changes have they made since Lauren was murdered. But I spent a lot of time with Jill and Matt McCluskey. We just heard from Matt. And they feel that not nearly enough has been done to address the wrongs that were committed in the lead up to her murder. And so to be told that, well, we're making all these changes and we want your interview to focus on the progress of these changes, to me really missed the boat here. Because again, coming back to your first question, we're really talking about a cultural shift. Is this a safe place for students who are experiencing dating violence or not? That's the question I think people are still asking.
What are you hearing in that conversation before with Matt McCluskey? You've talked to him and his wife, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take them at their word, it seems like they were quite reluctant to get to that point where they filed a lawsuit. Is that what you get from them?
That's absolutely true. So I sat down with them in Pullman in their home in May, and they were generous enough to give me the full day with them, hearing about Lauren and talking about their case. And one of the things that struck me the most was that they said to me, "We don't want to sue you." We actually, when the report came out, we were prepared that as long as, you know, the report findings came out, which they actually felt were very strong, and as long as there was an acknowledgement of the wrong done, that they were actually prepared to accept that. But that, like Matt said, when the university president came out and in as many words said this was not preventable, then they felt, well, if there isn't going to be an acknowledgement of the wrongs here, then we need to do something strong, only to honor Lauren's legacy, not for any financial gain, but simply because we believe something wrong here was committed and we owe it to Lauren to do this.
But can the university take responsibility? Like, can the university take full legal responsibility? Isn't there something in the way you express these things? It seems like they have to find a way to cover their liability, but also express a kind of sensitivity to what happened, but not admit fully because they could be liable or whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean? At least seems like they're in a rough spot in some ways.
Absolutely. I think, Doug, your point is well taken, right? That if they completely come out and say, "This was all our fault, we're so sorry," right, then they do expose themselves to legal liability. And it's a tricky line for them to walk. How do we respond to this in a sensitive manner while not exposing ourselves to a huge amount of legal financial obligation, either to the family or others? But I do think, to me, what struck me most is that there is a line to walk there. There is a way to say this was a terrible thing and maybe we weren't 100% responsible for that. Maybe there were things that were out of our control. We couldn't control certain parts of this, but we cared deeply. And most importantly, we want this to be a campus in which people feel safe and they feel that the institutions we've set up to protect them are legitimate, meaning that if there are young women experiencing dating violence on this campus, that they can call the university police and the police will take care of it. And I think what's so critical here is that I talked to Alex, who was one of Lauren's best friends, who was there the night she met Roland. And she said to me that it's not just her, but it's also other people. Her friends have said, you know, we wouldn't feel safe if we were experiencing the similar behavior. We wouldn't know where to go. Where would we go? Campus police didn't listen to Lauren. The university hasn't taken responsibility in their eyes. And Salt Lake City police just reroutes calls back to campus police. So where do you turn on the University of Utah campus right now if you're experiencing dating violence and you're afraid? It seems like it's nowhere.
What do you make of the language the University of Utah has invoked? More particularly, I read from the motion to dismiss, the language that said there's no requirement that university protect its student. I mean, like, technically, I guess that's true, but does that seem a little off key for people who are listening to it, listening for these messages, as you say, while they can't take direct responsibility to apply sort of a technicality?
Well, a lot of what's in that filing to dismiss is obviously language that's based on legal precedent, right? Yeah. How have these cases been won in the past? What is their real obligation? But this language is key, right? Relying on historical precedent in 2019 in the midst of a cultural revolution about sexual violence is not necessarily going to get the result you want. You might actually be perfectly safe in a courtroom. Maybe you can avoid any liability in a legal sense. But in your public perception, people aren't thinking about this the way they thought about it 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years ago. They aren't thinking, we're not responsible, we're not obligated. They're thinking, hey, if a woman is reporting sexual assault, sexual violence, you know, lack of safety, dating violence, then she needs to be listened to. And the idea that you can sort of distance yourself from that liability from a legal perspective is not going to work the same in the public eye.
Say something about this dimension to the case, which is the lawsuit accuses the university of gender discrimination under the Equal Protection Clause. Talk a little bit about this part of, is this a new twist to a new angle here, or has this been applied before, raised before, as far as you can tell?
Well, I think in this case, you know, that really goes back to the Title IX part of the lawsuit. And really what Title IX does is the idea behind it is you shouldn't have to go to college and face discrimination on the basis of your sex. And that shouldn't prevent you from reaping all these benefits of an educational experience, whether that's in sports, whether that's in all sorts of opportunities. And so the argument that they're making here is, obviously, Lauren was deprived of a full education at the University of Utah because she was murdered while she was there. And that many would say, her parents included, that there was a very gendered way that Lauren's case was treated. It wasn't simply that she was ignored, that Lauren perceived that she was ignored on the basis of the fact that she was a woman, that she was dismissed, that she was ignored, that she was treated inappropriately, that the meetings about her case happened in the lobby, that that her allegations were dismissed. And I think the gender component is there, is in, was Lauren not believed because Lauren is a woman, and therefore is that a Title IX equal protection case?
Less than a minute. So just see if you can respond to this quickly. What effect do you figure this has had on the reputation of the University of Utah, as far as you can tell?
I think it goes back to what I was saying before about whether or not people feel that they are safe to send their children there, whether or not women feel that they are safe to have relationships there, and whether or not people feel that this beautiful campus in a very safe city is actually a safe place for young women to go to college.
That is Jillian Friedman. She's an investigative reporter for the Deseret News, joined us here in the studio. Jillian, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Joining us now on the program is Bill Warren. He is the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for the University of Utah. As we continue this conversation, talking about the way the university has responded to the death of student and athlete Lauren McCluskey. Bill Warren, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you for this opportunity.
I wanted to ask you, before we get to some sort of broader things, I wanted to ask the hours, the early days after Lauren had been killed. What was the conversation that you can share anyway? What was the conversation like at the University of Utah about how to handle the story? I'm not just talking about the legal and security dimensions. We'll talk about that. But the way the university's position should be presented to the public and to the family and the friends of Lauren, what was the conversation like as far as you can talk about?
Well, Lauren's death, her murder, was an enormous tragedy. And in, of course, the initial stages, we shared the shock and dismay And the grief that others felt, of course, we would never presume to suggest that we felt those things to the degree that her family and friends did, but we were just overwhelmed by the tragedy. Our immediate inclination was to get to the bottom of what occurred. And not to put words in your mouth, but your question sort of suggests that we strategized about the way to respond to this. But really what we strategized about was the way to get to the bottom of what precisely occurred.
The McCluskeys say, of course, the school needs to take responsibility for what happened. How do you respond to that? Does the school take maybe let's not even say legal responsibility, but what responsibility does the university bear?
Yeah, I mean, Doug, I really like to make clear that there's a legal response to the suit, and then there's what the university is doing, taking accountability and responsibility for. And despite public perception, really those two lines do not cross in our conversations. The legal filings are the legal filings, and I'm not an attorney, but if we get into that, I can speak a little bit about that. But in general, about the university itself, you know, the reason President Watkins, commissioned or asked for that independent review was to find out exactly what did occur. And certainly the fact that Lauren McCluskey was murdered on our campus suggested to us that we wanted to find out what could have been done to prevent it. What was uncovered was a series of weaknesses and missed opportunities to respond to a complaint that initially was about extortion and some other things. But there were signs, obviously, that should have been read that would have suggested a different response. You know, we fully acknowledge that, and that is why, in response to that report, the university has trained enormous resources towards making this a safer campus. And I would say that it's a safer campus today than it was a year ago when this tragedy occurred, and I have every confidence that it will be a safer campus a year from now than it is today. I should just mention that, you know, our response to the report is in no way us patting ourselves on the back and saying, well, job finished, job accomplished. We fully recognize this is an ongoing process, that it will never end, and it needs to be a focus of our campus going forward.
But it does seem those two do converge, the idea of the legal responsibility and then the reaction. And it seems to me, I wonder if you're thinking that what people are hearing is the legalese part, that you know, the part where you say that there's no constitutional requirement for the university to protect a student from sexual harassment by someone who is not under university control. People see that as a legal dodge. Or when President Watkins said, we bear no responsibility, or there was no, sorry, let me say that you're right to shake your head, that there was, that nothing that could have been done could have prevented it. So I want to get you to respond to that. Whether or not you're being fairly dealt with in the responses from the press and from others who see only the sort of technicality that you seem to invoke in these stories.
Well, in terms of fairness, I think it would be naive to ever believe that one's actions are going to be judged in the way you would hope they would be by all parties concerned. That's right. Absurd. And we have a grieving family. And I would not presume to critique their point of view on this. But let me say this. What the president said was, in response to the report, reading the report, that there was no reason to believe that it could have been prevented by actions on the part of the university or those involved. And it was because of that that she felt it would be unfair and, in fact, unethical and immoral to hold someone responsible, aside from the murderer himself, for what occurred. It was not saying that we bear no responsibility for safety on this campus. It's not saying that our processes were perfect or that people behaved perfectly, but that it would be wrong to suggest that, okay, this person doing something different would have saved Lauren McCluskey's life, and therefore that person deserves to be fired and held solely responsible for this. Instead, the president's focus was, how do we make this campus safer? And the belief was, you don't make it safer by cutting off the head of the police department or by reaching into the organization and pulling someone out. Instead, it's going to be better training, better processes, and
more money.
Yes, more money. And the other thing I would say is, you know, the reason I would suggest that the same set of events wouldn't happen in the same way again is because of better training. I mean, the police department's gotten this lethality training so that officers can be held accountable for recognizing signs that may not be apparent in the calls they receive. Someone may not explicitly say, I believe my life is in danger for these reasons, and they shouldn't have to say that. And that's recognized.
I do want to ask you, I'm not sure if this is a technicality that you want to parse, but to that motion to dismiss that talked about the fact that there's no requirement that the university protect its student from sexual harassment perpetrated by visitors to campus who are not under university control. Why does that matter? Why does it matter that a man who killed Lauren McCluskey was a university employee or a student?
So let me address that in a couple ways. One, just to preface this, University of Utah is a state entity. You understand that, I believe. So this defense is actually in the hands of the Attorney General's office. We have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers of this state to respond to a lawsuit. I mean, that's just goes without saying, I think. But I've said it, so I suppose it doesn't go without saying. But I think it's important to understand. Secondly, the response to the lawsuit is confined by the attorneys to the points of law raised in the suit. And so they are talking about a point of law here. It is not the university's statement on what occurred in the Lauren McCluskey tragedy. It is not in any way saying that we do not believe we have an ethical and moral duty to protect our students. Of course we do. And if you see in our attorney's response to the student government's resolution.
Right.
We say that explicitly. We try to clarify that point.
Student leaders, you mentioned this resolution where they said they were disturbed by some of the statements. So you're saying they weren't a statement. This was just sort of a legal response.
That might be splitting hairs, but what I'm trying to suggest is this wasn't the statement that the university was making in its entirety. I would like it to be seen in the context of the legal argument, and it's a statement being made by attorneys in a legal context. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to run away from that position. It is our position. We're fighting that suit. There's no question about that.
These student leaders, though, said this amounts to victim blaming. And hearing from Jillian Friedman earlier, that is one of the questions here at stake, and that is whether or not women on campus and more generally campuses throughout the United States can feel safe.
Well, as Jillian said, I think quite rightly, this is part of a national conversation, and I think we're all in the process of learning more about how to respond and deal with these issues. That being said, as far as the student response to this, you know, I think this is what institutions of higher education are all about. I mean, we may not agree with everything in that resolution, but we welcome the fact that our students are getting involved in a matter as important of this, of national importance. They want to be part of that conversation. They're determined to hold the university accountable for what we say we're going to do in terms of public safety. The whole point of creating a culture of safety, what that really means is that everyone is a participant in that culture, in making ourselves, one another, safer. And so, you know, I think while we may not agree with the resolution, we applaud the attention being paid to this. This is what higher institutions of higher education are all about.
Quick final question. Do you think the university's reputation has been diminished because of this?
Doug, I can say with all honesty, our focus is on making this a safer campus. We are not having conversations about what impact this has had on our reputation. We are determined to become a model nationally for safer campuses. And that is really our sole objective at this point in terms of this incident, this tragedy.
It's Bill Warren, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for the University of Utah. Thank you very much. Radio West is a production of KUER, thanks to our intern, Natu Twe. The program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. Christy Miners is our executive producer. I'm Doug Fabrizio.